Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. We're really glad you're able to make it. I'm Charles Eichenbaum with the Windows Azure Marketing Team, and I've got two of our mobile service experts here with us, Kirill Gavriliuk, our Principal Program Manager Lead on Azure Mobile Services, and Miranda Luna, our Product Manager on Azure Mobile Services. Today, they'll be discussing how to build secure mobile apps for the enterprise. We'll start out with a presentation from Kirill and Miranda, and then we'll finish up with a Q&A session. So if you have any questions along the way, feel free to submit them and we'll answer as many as possible at the end. And with that, I'll hand it over to Kirill.
Well, hey, everyone. Really glad to be here with you guys today. We're going to talk about how building mobile apps with the backend running on Windows Azure and walk through the scenarios that are typical in the enterprise, in particular employee-facing apps, and how to do the proper security for them and all other aspects of the building mobile apps for the enterprise focused on employee-facing scenarios. We have two services that are focused on mobile in Windows Azure today. It's mobile services and notification hubs. We're going to talk in general about where options of hosting backend across Windows Azure, and then focus specifically on those two mobile-facing services, mobile services and notification hubs, and then round up with best practices resources and, of course, Q&A. So, Zoran, if you have a mobile app and you're considering where to host your backend, or how to add a backend to your mobile app, there are quite a few options in Windows Azure exist today. You have four different compute environments, as we call them. You can run your backend for your mobile app on virtual machines. And we have a number of examples of mobile apps today running backends in Windows Azure using virtual machines. You have full control over what you are running. You can run them on Linux or on Windows virtual machines. All of that is good. If you want a little bit more help from Windows Azure towards maintaining or towards operating your backends, cloud services offer you that, and we have a number of mobile services, mobile apps running with the backends on cloud services. If you want even more help with the operating your service, you can run host your web APIs for your mobile app on websites written either in .NET, Node.js, PHP, or Java, any particular language, and we have mobile apps like Morali that uses websites as their backend choice. Finally, we have mobile services, which is a backend. Some call it backend in a box that gives you a lot of functionality relevant to mobile apps. A lot of backend functionality out of the gate, saving you a lot on developer a lot of development costs as well as operating costs. This is the backend offering specific for mobile scenarios, and we have a number of customers running on mobile services. Now, what are the differences between all these four? And to start with, especially when we talk about enterprise, most of the backend systems that power mobile apps that are hosted, that are offered by the enterprises, whether it's consumer-facing apps or employee-facing apps, most of the backend systems actually today run on-premise, right? Now, what typically happens is that folks add a mobility layer in front of their existing backend so that mobile apps can connect to it. And so that mobility layer can take different shapes and forms. It can run on VMs. It can run in any of these compute environments. What's the difference between these compute environments? If you look at this diagram, they're all great for the particular purpose. If you want full flexibility, full control over the compute environment, including what to install on your virtual machine, what components you need there, what patches you want to accept, what you don't, full control over your virtual machines is offered by Windows Azure Virtual Machines. If you want Windows Azure help you with maintaining a secure image of the operating system that runs your backend, make sure that your backend is properly scaled and easily scaled out, etc. You can run on cloud services as a kind of platform as a service option. Furthermore, if your backend is kind of RESTful APIs and you want to have Windows Azure help you even more with running your service, making sure that it's the load balancer settings are right for you, and making sure that the failover is already taken care of. You can pick Windows Azure Websites, a great place to host your website or web API. And finally, with mobile services, you get a lot of speed of development and ease of maintenance. This is kind of backend in the box. You create it with few clicks under 30 seconds, and you get several capabilities already presented to you, ready to go. You don't need to write a single line of code. And then you can extend it and add additional functionality to your mobile service. And you get full support in terms of the operating of your mobile backend from Windows Azure. Windows Azure will monitor how your backend is doing, will make sure that everything is in check, that your connectivity to your data backend is in good shape, because Windows Azure knows a lot more about your backend history. So you have this trade-off between full control over the computer environment and ease, speed of development and ease of maintenance on the other side. And depending on where on the diagram you want to be, that's the environment you want to choose for your mobile backend. Now, in subsequent slides, we're going to focus on mobile services and push notifications a lot more. Mobile services. While originally mobile services have been conceived with a focus on consumer-facing apps, we see more and more usage of mobile services in the enterprise, not only for enterprise apps focusing on consumer, but also on enterprise apps focusing on employee. Here's, for example, TalkTalk Business has an app running with a backend on mobile services that's focused on, it's an employee-focused app, allows the employee to, this consumer-focused app allows consumers to make sure that the account is in that shape, get the information about their account, etc. This app has access to the on-premise data and existing on-premise backend that was there, the TalkTalk Business already had. And mobile services plays a role of a mobility layer that they add to their existing backend and put in front of the mobile app itself. Mobile services is a backend in the box, as I called it earlier, right? And it gives you right now, when you create a mobile service, which takes under 30 seconds, you have an API in the cloud already available to you that makes it, and right out of the gate, you can do things with that API. You can do things with your mobile service, like storing structured data in your mobile service in a secure fashion, working with any of the data backends, whether it's SQL, whether it's stable storage, whether it's blob storage, or Mongo. You can easily you can easily add authentication for your mobile app with any of the social identity providers or Windows Azure Active Directory if your app is focused on employees. You have push notifications available to you out of the gate, no matter which device your mobile app targets, whether it's Apple, Windows, or Android. When you create a mobile service, you get all this functionality out of the gate, but you can also extend it with additional logic. And this logic is written in JavaScript. This is kind of our scripting environment that runs in that mobile service. That environment runs on Node. We use Node.js in mobile services. You can edit your scripts straight into the portal, but of course as they grow and as your app becomes more mature, you certainly want to use source control. There is source control integration for your scripts, for your scripting environment in mobile services, and you can use your source control of your system of your choice, for example, Git, and do Git and develop locally or as a team, and then push your updates to the mobile service. All this mobile services functionality is available via REST APIs, and we also give you the strongly typed SDKs for every of the supported platforms, like Windows Store SDK, iOS, Android, Windows Phone. We provide SDKs for a number of cross-platform frameworks available to help you build cross-platform apps on multiple devices. Form factors, and for example, Xamarin is a very popular cross-platform framework that allows you to write your app in C#, and it runs on iOS, Android, or Windows Phone. You write your logic once, and you run it on all of these platforms. Or Fonga, or Sentia. Pick the framework of your choice, especially if you're focusing on line of business apps. Due to the cost to benefit ratio, you'll likely end up choosing the cross-platform frameworks, and rest assured you have full support in mobile services for cross-platform framework of your choice. Now there are a number of these back-end in the boxes or offerings out there in the industry. Some of you may be familiar with concepts like Parse or any others. One important thing to point out, which is especially relevant for enterprise scenarios, is in mobile services, you have full control of your code and your data. When you store securely data with mobile services, your data is stored in a SQL database or table storage or Mongo that belongs to you. There is no lock-in, which is very important for enterprises. Right? You can take your data, you can take your code from mobile services and host it anywhere else if you decide that mobile services is not for you. Mobile services computer environment, again, it's very transparent. It's just Node.js. We have a runtime that we maintain for you, that we instrument for you, so that we both know how to help you operating your service, that we get pinged at night if something is going wrong with the service, and we can ping you in response. We also make sure that, you know, if Facebook or someone else changes some of the protocols that they use, that we patch it, or that we patch the runtime so you don't have to worry about any libraries that you use in your mobile service. However, you can take that Node.js script code that you wrote and host it elsewhere. You don't have to, I mean, it's just Node.js. And you can bring any modules that Node.js ecosystem has with you. And as you know, we are adding .NET support to it. I'll talk about it a bit later. Now, we mentioned that this webinar is focused on the enterprise scenarios. And there are a few areas where things are distinctly different when it comes to enterprises. Especially for employee-facing scenarios, you're likely authenticating with using some form of directory. Your users are in a directory. Whether it's Active Directory or whether it's some other directory, they are in the directory. And mobile services provide you turnkey support for authentication with Windows Azure Active Directory that you can sync to your on-premise Active Directory. And there are ways, if there's no way to sync your directory to Windows Azure Active Directory, there are solutions for that as well. You can easily authenticate with mobile services, add authentication to mobile services using directory of your choice. Data in enterprise apps tends to live on premises. And mobile services provide on-premise access using a technology called Service Bus Relay. Very straightforward to use. And you can call from your mobile services scripts. You can call APIs that run on-prem. As such, you don't have to expose your system out on the internet. Most enterprise apps tend to have fairly complex data structures, and they tend to have heterogeneous data backends. It's not just SQL, right? They may have SQL, and they may have some key value pair store, and then some of the data is stored in SAP or any other systems. Mobile services, here's where it's the good thing about it, is that mobile services is part of Windows Azure. So you get all this Windows Azure goodness when it comes to this. Mobile services works with any data backend. You can use BizTalk services to work with SAP or Oracle systems and call from or integrated with mobile services. You can work with SQL on-prem from mobile services using Service Bus Relay to relay the data exchange. Often in enterprise scenarios, you have an already existing on-premise system, and you just want to add a mobility layer that does push notifications or something like this. Again, mobile services is a great choice for this, right? Because it's a lightweight mobile mobility layer in front of your system that auto scales for you, that we operate and maintain for you, so you don't need to worry about it, and it can talk securely to your on-prem system. Finally, there are additional richer messaging scenarios that typically happen in enterprise mobile apps. And again, Windows Azure provides a number of capabilities there to help you with that, like service bus pops up topics, etc. Now, let me show you quickly what mobile services are and how easy it is to operate. And I'm gonna create a mobile service. I'm gonna play with it a little bit, and I'm gonna enable source control, work with my scripts, add some scripts, and get push them up to mobile service. I'm gonna look at some additional services that we have in Windows Azure, how easy it is to add to your mobile service and integrate with other services. Finally, we'll finish up with Azure Active Directory. Let me share my screen. All right. So let me first introduce you to Windows Azure Management Portal. Some of you may be familiar with it. Windows Azure has a number of services, and mobile services is one of them. Here I have some mobile services. It's very easy to create a new mobile service. You go, click create, you supply a name. Here's some creative name. We're gonna use, by default, mobile services will store data in SQL database. Again, this can be overridden and you can store it anywhere else you like. So we're gonna use an existing SQL database that I have. We're gonna run mobile service, and we're gonna pick the region where we want to run our mobile service, so it's close to our audience, let's say West US, West Coast. Let's pick an existing database that is in West Coast. We'll provide SQL passwords. And off we go, creating a mobile service. What happens behind the scenes is that we provision the computer environment for you. We provision the database connection for the computer environment. We're going to provision the right set of users for your database, etc. This computer environment that we provision is going to be managed by Windows Azure. It's going to be instrumented already. We monitor down to the runtime itself. So we monitor how your mobile service works. And all of this happens in under 30 seconds. Hopefully anytime soon, we get a mobile service. Now, once it's complete, the creation completes, you get automatically an API that you can already invoke with the mobile service. So you get automatically here you go. It's completed. If we click on the newly created mobile service, we first greet you with a quick start on any of the mobile platforms that you might be using. Whether you are building Windows Store, Windows Phone, or iOS application, we help you either creating with a simple example of a new connected iOS app is connected to your mobile service, or creating an existing iOS app and walk you to quick steps. Since I'm presenting from a Windows laptop, I'm going to use this Windows Store quick start. But I could do exactly the same steps I could do on any of other platforms. So in this case, I'm going to create a new Windows Store app. We're going to create a sample table where we're going to store some really important data. We're going to download this sample app, which is a to-do list app. Then create a new folder. We can now open this this app that we just downloaded. And you'll note that this app already is already connected to the to a mobile service. So we open it in Visual Studio, and it's ready to run. It's a very simple to-do list application. We're going to add one to-do item, and let's go back and look at our mobile service. We're going to go to the data tab in our mobile service and look at the data that we just stored. Here's our to-do item. And we look at our to-do item, and we have a new data. We have the data that we just stored, right? Great, so it's easy. It's very easy. It's already easy to store data securely with mobile service. And we haven't written a single line of code on the backend. The mobile service has provided a runtime that enables you to do all this. Now, it's very easy to extend your mobile services functionality with scripts. If I add a little line of code here, this is just JavaScript. I can continue. I'm not going to bore you with typing, but you can easily add your logic, your validation logic in the script, and your mobile service, and you, and this logic will add, and your mobile service will augment the default card operations that you that your app performs against the mobile service. So let's say we'll just add simple awesome prefix to it. All right, so we're going to save this. And now, without restarting my app, as you can see, we just added some prefix. So silly logic like that, but you can add much smarter logic yourself. So what we're going to do now, of course, you're not going to be, if you're building a private app, you're not going to be editing your logic, aligning your logic using the browser. So what we're going to do is we're going to enable the source control for this mobile service. It's done on the dashboard that I just navigated to. And what it does is that it sets up source control, and you can now connect it with any repository out there that supports Git. We use Git as the primary protocol for source control, and you can work with your, now you can clone this, your mobile services scripts locally, you can work with them, and you can Git push your updates to your mobile service. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna take this URL, and we're gonna go we're gonna go to our folder, and we're gonna say clone, and we're gonna provide this URL. So it's gonna all right, let me create another to avoid conflicts. I need to provide my source control credentials. And from there on, I'm going to get my scripts over here. So now I'm going to As you can see, I just got my APIs, my extensions, and all of my scripts over here. So if I go to table, I see my script, my to-do item insert script. The scripts are just edited. I can edit it here, and then I can get pushed to a mobile service, and it'll get automatically updated. So this way, you can have team development. You don't have to use a portal to edit your scripts. Now, because it's all Node.js, I can also bring any arbitrary module, right? So I can do, for example, npm install. I can add SendGrid, or I can add any other module out there. Or, for example, if I want to use Azure, I can add Azure module, and I can use that Azure SDK to talk to any Windows Azure services out there. So this way I can talk to Service Bus, or I can talk to Storage, or Windows Azure Table, etc. So that's great. And now, so entire NPM node ecosystem is available to me, which is great. Now, finally, because it was supposed to be an enterprise app, we can enable Active Directory for our authentication for our mobile service, for our app. The way it's done is, you need to sign up for Windows Azure Active Directory mobile service integration preview. But once you signed up, you can use it in production today. And you go to Windows Azure Active Directory, register your app with Windows Azure Active Directory, give it this URL, and get the client ID, paste the client ID here, and your app now can authenticate with your mobile service using Windows Azure Active Directory. Let me check on time. Now, so this kind of quickly we did a few steps in our demo. To summarize, we created a mobile service. It takes less than 30 seconds. It gives you already quite a few backend functionality for you. We used source control integration in your mobile services so we can edit scripts, mobile services scripts, locally without going to the portal. Those scripts allow you to extend your mobile service. Those scripts just run in Node.js. You can use any of the Node.js modules out there just by npm installing them and pushing them to your mobile service. We installed the Azure npm module. Finally, you can add authentication with any of the identity providers out there, including Windows Azure Active Directory, which is pretty handy for if your app is focused on the if your app is employee facing. With that, I'm going to give it over to Miranda, who will introduce you to. Windows Azure. One important note: please sign up to Windows Azure Active Directory preview just by sending email to this link. We'll get you all in. If you have an employee-facing app that you want to try mobile services for, we'd love to hear from you. Again, the functionality is ready for production. We just want to learn more before getting it to general availability. All right, over to you, Miranda.
Thank you, Kirill. I appreciate it. This is just a quick slide to you guys can reference on your own time for integrating with on-prem assets using either Service Bus Relay over REST or Service Bus Relay over SOAP, as well as some samples on using BizTalk services. What I'm going to move on to now, though, is notification hubs, which if you remember that slide Kirill showed you in the beginning that had kind of the different compute models in Azure on an axis where you were trading off degree of customizability for speed of development and ease of maintenance. Notification Hubs works not only with all four of those compute models in Windows Azure, which means virtual machines, cloud services, websites, and mobile services. It also hooks into existing on-prem backends and doesn't require any adjustments in your firewall settings. So to kind of transition to what we're talking about in Notification Hubs versus mobile services, mobile services, as Kirill gave you a great overview, is really that back-end in the box scenario. It's provisioning compute for you, giving you a scripting environment. It's giving you features like authentication and push notifications and source control for working in teams. But when you're really thinking about integrating push notifications into an application at scale, you really need a specialized solution. And at scale, meaning anything, you know, from scaled personalization, scaled templating, scaled tagging, not just necessarily the number of active users you have, which, you know, you might be thinking, if I have an employee-facing app, I kind of know I'm going to max out around 10,000 users, or I'm going to max out around 200 users, or I'm going to max out around 15,000 users. So you might not think that scale component and really having a powerful specialized tool like Notification Hub makes sense. But in fact, when you're thinking about the kind of personalization you need to accomplish and some of the challenges you're going to run into with push notifications, it's going to save you a lot of headache. One customer that we have right now is building a corporate travel solution, and they're based in the APAC region. So what they really wanted to be able to do, the set of requirements they had was they wanted to be able to send a cross-platform push notification in a single API call. Not as easy as it sounds, and I'll explain why. They also wanted to format notifications for different devices. I mean, think about how a notification appears on an Android device versus iOS versus Windows, and then also think about the different Android, the physical devices on Android, and the different formatting options there. Furthermore, they wanted to give some segmented push based on travel, each employee's travel plans and status. You know, if there's a weather warning for employees who may have been traveling to the southeastern United States right now, you probably didn't want to push that to everybody who was in Europe. So those are the sort of scenarios they were trying to accomplish. And as you can see, they ran into a few problems. And I'm going to kind of highlight that and then also talk about how Notification Hub kind of addresses exactly those customer needs. So this slide, again, just covers kind of not just the corporate travel solution being relevant, but what some of our other customers are tackling using the Notification Hubs, you know, from anything in workforce management, from time card and expense report approvals, you know, just kind of making sure that managers get that push notification on their phone to review content and then approve it or, you know, reject it, obviously. Warehouse management for arrivals, truck movement, anything with document approvals, you know, being able to review plan budget expenditures on your phone and approve or reject is really easy. And then everything from hospitality and travel with check-in at the front desk all the way up to kind of giving guests a personalized experience in their room where they can, you know, access all hotel resources, and then also employees can respond based on devices that they have. And push is obviously a key component of that. So what's actually happening with mobile push? You know, it's very easy to kind of take it as something that's simple, right? It just pops up on your phone like magic. But actually, there's a lot going on in order to make that happen. So what you have going on is, you know, at launch, you're having to register each device handle. You know, the back-end system has to know which device to target. And, you know, very conveniently, all the different platforms from iOS, Android, Windows have different protocols, different means of retrieving handles. You can see channel URIs in Windows, device tokens in iOS, and registration IDs in Android. So not only do they have their own protocols and channels and means of registering everything, they also have separate platform push notification services through which you need to route all these push notifications. So that means that, you know, your app backend has to be able to communicate with disparate push notification services in an efficient manner, so you're not essentially making an API call for every push notification you want to send if a lot of people are getting the same content. So building that logic then gets a little complicated as you add platforms. And then again, you know, sending the notification and maintaining the device handles for expired devices. If somebody, for example, if, you know, you send a push notification through APNS, which is the Apple platform push notification service, and you send it to an expired device handle, maybe someone who uninstalled the app too many times, they're going to revoke your privileges of using their service. So there's kind of a lot of not just setup, but expansion and maintenance work that goes on with push notifications. And we have kind of tried to tease that out a little bit so that it's clear kind of the value you can get from a service like Notification Hubs at each point. So in terms of push notifications, you know, we mentioned the different protocols, you know, HTTP or TCP, you know, XML or a JSON payload, and having to format node and having to maintain all that in your app backend can get a little unwieldy. You know, sending targeted push notifications to interest groups or logical users, once you already have that cross-platform component especially, introduces additional layers of logic, especially if you think about kind of maintaining a typical structured database where you maybe you want to add new interest tags or you want to add new groups, you know, that then you have a bunch of null rows for the users you had registered beforehand, and it just gets a little unwieldy to work with and keep up to date. Personalizing notifications on the client side, you know, let's say you tackle that group challenge, but then what about you tackle the group challenge, you tackle the platform notification service challenge, but then you have, you know, employees that have that are globally distributed. Some may want their content in one in Japanese, another group may want their content in English, another group may want their content in Spanish. And along with language differentials, you have, you know, currency to think about. If there's, you know, if you're enabling a mobile sales force, you know, globally, and you want to make sure they know what to tell their customers, and you send that kind of in a push notification to get their attention, you obviously don't want someone in Brazil seeing the U.S. dollar amount. The fourth problem is actually what you would probably find most difficult, and that's kind of the high volume with low latency. In order to send many push notifications, which you might think, hey, you know, it's an employee-facing scenario, I'm not, you know, broadcasting a Happy New Year message to the entirety of the Facebook user base, so I obviously am going to need less compute. But if you end up having to inbox a lot of, if you end up inboxing a lot of notifications to your employees, that'll drive your volume up really quickly, kind of unexpectedly quickly. And you're going to end up having to not just spin up tons of VMs unexpectedly, but then once you kind of learn about the performance lack there, you'll start having to maintain them. And not just maintain a lot of unused VMs just to kind of hit that peak capacity you have when you get a lot of inboxing back and forth, but you might even have to shard your application in order to route the max number of push notifications each VM can handle and the amount of time you're willing to let it run in order to process it, and that's going to be limited by the compute of each VM. So again, if you're trying to do it most efficiently and you're like, okay, well, I'm going to just use small VMs to handle all the push notifications I'm going to send out, and I'm going to scale each one of those, that's fantastic, but that means you're going to have to shard your application more and more and more because the compute of a small VM instance is not going to be anywhere near the same as a large. Then again, if you're like, okay, well, I'm going to go for what makes me not have to shard my application as much. Great, you go for a large or an extra large VM instance, you're going to have, that's a lot more expensive to have sitting idle. And then that fifth issue is what I kind of flagged about the device handle registry. You know, keeping that up to date in terms of people who are installing, uninstalling your app, especially the same person installing it on multiple devices, that's just a registry that takes a lot of diligence to maintain. And, you know, when you make errors there, the platform's push notification services can definitely punish you for them. So that's something you really want to avoid because you wouldn't want to be kind of suspended from being able to access those resources provided by Apple, Google, or Microsoft just based on kind of a simple logic error in your registration table. So what do we actually offer in Notification Hubs? We talked about it a lot. We talked about the challenges. What we really offer is a high-volume, low-latency push service that gives you a way to send highly personalized push notifications at scale from any app backend, whether that's one of the four Windows Azure Compute models, whether that's an on-premises backend, or the backends written in Java, PHP, Node.js, .NET. We give you that flexibility to just immediately hook it into whatever you need. So I want to just be clear that Notification Hubs itself is not another compute model, right? It's not on that that graphic we showed you earlier, kind of showing the trade-off between flexibility and speed of development. Notification Hubs itself is a hook into this compute model so that you can take something that, so you can offload from your core compute in the back end, you can offload some work to a specialized service in Notification Hubs. It's not only going to handle a lot of that compute-intensive work and routing, but it's also going to give you an easier way to maintain your registration table, to send targeted push notifications, to apply a template on the client side so that the information is displayed in a format that that particular employee or user wants. So just to kind of walk you through this diagram a little bit, I know it's a lot to take on. On the leftmost side, we kind of have the application backend, and what you're going to do from that app backend once you've registered it with the Notification Hub, and we'll include those snippets there in hidden slides, but we'll include that for the downloaded version of the deck, and you can obviously find everything in the Windows Azure Developer Center. But what you're going to end up doing is you're going to make an API call from your app backend to the notification hub after you've registered it. And that notification hub is going to have a registration of devices. You know, devices are going to register with the notification hub upon download of your app. And what that means is every device handle in there has, you know, certain tags associated with it. So if the API call you send from your app backend says, okay, you know, send message A to any device that has gender female and city Seattle and flavor of ice cream vanilla. I was probably thinking about Molly Moon. So what the notification hub is then going to do is within its registration table, it's going to make sure that message gets routed only to the devices that have registered with those tags. So where the associated tags are female, Seattle, vanilla, all of them. And then what the notification hub is then going to do is send messages to each of the separate platform push notification services. So you see APNS for iOS, GCM for Google, MPNS Windows Phone, WNS Windows Store. And you can see that only those devices that have the correct three tags are actually receiving that message. And what you also see kind of applied there is, you know, let's say that there was some sort of monetary element to it. The template is something that you would use for kind of user preference in terms of language or currency, or, you know, again, that's where you do your device formatting is on the client side. Because if you'll pay attention, you see that it's now displayed, the message would be displayed in dollars or yen or euro, but that was never specified in that message you sent on the app backend, right? In the app backend, from the app backend, you're going to include the information for all the potential formats. So you're going to send a single message that has message A contains information for US dollars, yen, and euro. But all it's going to end up displaying is what's matched by the template on the client side, and that's going to be maintained on that device. So it really handles a lot of the problems you might have if you kind of, let's say you're having a conference with people from a lot of different geos. They all want to register different devices. That's fine. They all kind of have different interest tags, maybe interest in different sessions, different cuisines, and, you know, they're going to have different dinner plans for the night, as well as kind of session plans for the day. You can send a single message that contains all the information that, you know, people will need in different languages, information on pricing, distance, things like that. If you were going to say, hey, you know, push notification to everybody based on their distance from the hotel to the conference center and say, you know, you should probably leave now, it's, you know, 2.4 kilometers away, but some people want that in miles, again, that's where you do it in templates. So if you think about kind of line of business scenarios with push notifications, it's not just about kind of the mobile push that you get on your phone with kind of a red number one or any sort of Tile or Toast. You also need to think about kind of what you need in terms of delivery acknowledgement. Think about a scenario where somebody needs to, where you want to make sure somebody received the notification that they should approve something, or that a truck's entering the warehouse, or that they need to pull a new item off the shelf to ship to a customer. You want to know that push notification got there, and we definitely offer a way for you to do that. You want to know that your messages are encrypted. Obviously, everything that's going through a platform push notification service is going to pass through Microsoft, Google, or Apple servers. But, you know, if you want to think about end-to-end encryption and just kind of going within app push and not kind of through these separate push notification services, that's possible as well. And then you want to have everything available for audit in addition. So kind of using notification hubs in conjunction with SignalR and Service Bus, all those scenarios are possible. And we really just want to make sure you kind of had an idea of the whole range of what push can do with your application and the flexibility of the solutions you can get from within Windows Azure. So just a quick recap before we cover some quick best practices. Notification hubs, they hit cross-platform support for every major platform, and you know, that includes Mac OS X. You know, we're always looking to add turnkey support for additional platforms. So if you, you know, if you get in touch with the team and tell us that, you know, you have a big deployment on Kindle and you'd really like to see ADM support, we are all ears. Please share. We definitely take customer input into our future prioritization. Device handles lifecycle management, absolutely critical. And then again, that delivery patterns in terms of tags and templates, you can go all the way down to a unicast and hit just a single user. So if you want to inbox one person or one particular device, You can absolutely do that. If you want to do multicast with just a few different users based on tags, that's absolutely doable. Or if you want to go completely broadcast and hit everybody with the same message at once, you can absolutely do that. And that's, you know, Notification Hubs is optimized for that kind of scale, you know, the type of global scale that the biggest apps in the world need. So you're never going to hit a capacity issue with using Notification Hubs. And again, the templates would be the localization on the client side, not something that you designate on your app backend in the call you send to the Notification Hub. So we also offer a variety of telemetry. You can definitely review all that within the Windows Azure portal. So to quickly cover some best practices and resources before we open it up for Q&A, you know, with mobile services, when you're building an app backend using mobile services or even adding mobility layer to an existing application, you know, think about the applications that enable your Salesforce, and you want to actually enable them on their preferred devices rather than, you know, necessarily through a web app. You know, use Active Directory authentication. We provide it. It's there. You know that it's secure. Azure Active Directory seamlessly integrates with your existing on-prem Active Directory. It's just the way to go. Service Bus Relay, it provides that on-premises connectivity between mobile services and on-prem assets. So if you were looking to pull data from an on-prem CRM deployment, make that available on mobile devices, Service Bus Relay is the way you would do it. You don't have to store all, saying that you want to integrate with an on-premises service or data store doesn't mean you have to move that to the cloud. I want to definitely make sure I flag that because that's a question we get frequently. If you have, for example, a customer database on-premises that you don't feel comfortable moving to the cloud due to data sensitivity concerns, you can absolutely use Service Bus Relay to make that data accessible on mobile devices without having to save it in Azure SQL Database or Azure Table Storage or Azure Blob Storage. It never has to be saved in the cloud, but it can still be accessible for mobile devices by using mobile services and Service Bus Relay together. Source control, as Carol gave a great example of, definitely enables team development. And then just a couple flags we want to put out there. You know, as applications grow more complex and, you know, perhaps they start getting reused and duplicated across teams, especially in the enterprise, it's just really important to make sure that you check all the boxes for SQL basics. You know, are you indexing the right columns? Have you run a query analyzer on your queries to make sure that that's not causing any of the performance issues running into? And just kind of take a look at your data model and review it, you know, with a few different people, because most of the issues people kind of reach out to the team with are easily corrected, and we are happy to help with them, but we just don't want to get to the point where you have to reach out to us, because that means you've probably been experiencing some problems that you probably could have corrected on your own, and we want to make sure you feel empowered to kind of handle that. Notification hubs, definitely encourage the use of notification hubs for pretty much all push scenarios. Works with mobile services, absolutely. And you use those tags, again, to define logical users and groups. So think, use a tag to define, I want this single same, this message to go to this group and that message to go to this other group. Templates is what you apply on the client side for personalization or localization. So it's, I want everybody to get the same message, but display it in the format that they want to see it. And those are some of the applications that are using mobile services or notification hubs today. So we wanted to give some love to our customers. You can find mobile services resources here. Definitely very responsive. That email address Carol put up earlier for getting access to the Active Directory preview. Mobile services at Microsoft.com will get you to real people. Actually, Carol and I are very likely to be the ones that reply to you. And again, Notification Hub resources, which you can consult as well to get up and running there. So I think with that, we are ready to open it up to questions. I know you've had to listen to us for a little bit, but we want to make sure you can get your questions answered as well.
Great. Thanks, Miranda. We've got some questions that have come in. First one, I noticed there were some BizTalk and Relay examples on the screen earlier. Should I be using one or the other if I have an on-prem system like Salesforce that I want to integrate with my mobile service?
I can take this. Relay is a service in the Azure functionality that is specific to relaying requests from public internet to the on-premise. Bespoke services uses Relay and adds actual integration with on-premise enterprise systems like SAP, Oracle, and so forth. So depending on what you do, and you can just use Relay, that's pretty straightforward, and then you relay the API calls to Salesforce, and it should be easy. Or if you want to actually have integration with SAP, you probably want to use Bespoke services because it's a lot of work to do it yourself.
Great, thanks. Got the next question. Do I have to use Facebook, Twitter, AD, Microsoft, or Google for auth, or can I do my own customer identity that's specific to the app or a set of apps? Are there any special considerations I should take into account?
We do have blogs out there and materials around how to set up, add your custom authentication system to mobile services. It's fairly straightforward. Mobile services use job tokens to authenticate. So we basically have a local security token service that integrates with social identity providers by default as well as with the Windows Azure Active Directory. But you don't have to and issue a job token. But that job token can be easily issued on yourself. And we have blogs that describe how to do that. And this way you can add your own authentication system. Obviously, you want to make sure all the standard security practices about storing passwords apply if you want to use your own, if you want to build your own username password store.
Great, thank you. Next question. If I already have a table in a SQL database that houses all my user and device registrations, how would I, A, get that information into Notification Hub registrations table, and then, B, keep that up to date?
Sure. You can use the Notification Hubs offers you CRUD APIs to work with the registration store. So you can easily, in fact, we have quite a few customers that maintain the device handles tables on their own for one or another reason. For example, one of the scenarios is if you have an analytics system that you use today and you want to register, you want to collect the segment the audience using that analytics system, and then you want to register the corresponding device handles of the users with their segments in Notification Hubs and map tag to a tag per segment, and then use Notification Hubs to broadcast notifications to individual segments. You can easily do that by registering using the API, the registration API, and maintain it up to date. It's very easy to kind of create, update, delete that registration info. We're also looking at kind of making those scenarios even more straightforward, especially if you have really large volume of registrations and you need to do and you want to keep kind of synchronize Notification Hub's registration store with your own store. Reach out to me at kirillg@microsoft.com. I would love to show you more, show you how to do it and walk you through some best practices there.
Great, thanks. And then finally, we have time for one more question. How would I use a SQL Server on-prem as my primary data store in mobile services?
So today you would wrap it where you would build an API layer and host it on-prem that talks to your SQL Store on-prem, and that is a SQL Server on-prem, and then talk to that API layer using Service Bus Relay from your mobile services scripts. It's kind of one solution. We are working on a technology that would make it much, much easier in turnkey, so you can just directly talk to the SQL Server on-prem. It will be available soon, but right now you would wrap it in a service, expose it using Service Bus Relay, and talk to it using from mobile services scripts.
Okay, great. Actually, we do have time for one more question here. I couldn't tell if role-based access control, is there a way to do RBAC-based?
Sorry, Charles, we lost you there. Could you repeat that?
Yep. So the question is, I couldn't tell if role-based access control is included in AD auth. Is there a way to do RBAC based on role of an Active Directory authenticated user? What about AD on an authenticated user versus a Facebook or customer auth user? If I wanted to show one set of content to normal custom identity users, then additional content only to those who have authenticated via AD, how would I get started doing this?
You can do role-based access. We have very basic role-based access settings on the mobile services tables, or other basic APIs that come to those tables. But the most of it you would do in scripts. You can certainly use, assert the claims that come with the authenticated request to your individual APIs in mobile services and assert it in the scripts. But yeah, we don't provide a declarative way of doing it. You have to write code to do it.
Great. Cool. That's all the time we have for today, everybody. I'd like to thank Karela Miranda for your time and expertise. And also thank you, everybody in the audience, for joining us. And thanks for your interest in Azure Mobile Services.